All right, what's going on, guys? This is a new podcast called This Is My Life. Why Is It Like That? Where we'll delve into the topics of anxiety, PTSD, suicide, you name it, things like that that people don't want to talk about, but we're going to talk about it. Put it in your face. If you've been there, if you felt it, this is for you. My name's Trey Trevino. I'm here with Heath Garcia, and we're going to get right into it.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times.
So I'm going to start off with what the definition of PTSD is. So the definition is it's a psychiatric disorder that can occur in people who have experienced or witnessed a traumatic event such as a natural disaster, a serious accident, a terrorist attack, which is war or combat, rape or other violent personal assault. Some other facts. PTSD has been known by many names in the past, such as shell shock during the years of World War I, combat fatigue during World War II. But PTSD doesn't just happen to combat vets. PTSD can occur in all people, and all people of ethnicity, nationality, or culture, and any age. PTSD affects approximately 3.5% of U.S. adults, and an estimated 1 in 11 people will be diagnosed with PTSD in their lifetime. Women are twice as likely as men to have PTSD. So once again, my name is Trey Trevino. I've been in the Navy for 11 years, not that long, but just long enough to see what the effects are. I've seen people who've committed suicide. I've seen the effects of PTSD in and out of the Navy. Me, myself, I've been diagnosed with anxiety, general anxiety disorder, hyper anxiety disorder. I go talk to psychologists on a weekly basis. I'm on meds, all those type of things, you know, things that people try to hide. And usually I don't really talk to people much about it, but I feel like this is the type of medium where we can talk to people and maybe we'll reach somebody that's just like us. And it'll make you feel better, make you be part of a group. You don't feel secluded in that sense. I can get more deep into it, and we can get that in another episode. But that's a little bit about me. I'm sitting here with Heath Garcia.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? hey, thanks for having me on your podcast, Trey. I appreciate it. So, my name is Heath Garcia. I've been in the Navy over 18 years now. I've been through three combat engagements, and I have been diagnosed with severe PTSD and anxiety disorder. I've been through inpatient treatment at Strong Hope just recently, as a matter of fact, through June into mid-July. I just got back out of there. I started a blog up, Trey. You know, you've been checking it out. Yep. At www.darknightrisen.com or darknightrisen0096.com. And the purpose of that is to kind of get my thoughts on paper out there, you know, just to kind of redirect and reflect the negative thoughts inside me. And hopefully they're there to touch somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you, man. My bad, guys. We got kids in the house. It's the first podcast. So we got kids running around. We'll get this situated, so don't mind that. So we'll get back into this. So, all right, Heath, I heard you know, you're talking about that you got PTSD, you know, the places you went to get help for that and everything. So during those times and with your own personal endeavors, how do you feel about PTSD? Like, what does PTSD mean to you? I read the definition, but to you, you felt it, you're there, you're in it. What does it mean to you?
PTSD is four letters, man, and it's hell, straight up. And that's as raw as you can cut it. It's hell. It's like taking a record, you know, and I know you make beats and stuff, and it's like taking a record, taking a portion of that record, say, like the first minute, mm-hmm. and putting that thing on constant repeat. And that thing constantly repeats in your mind over and over and over and over, and it never ends. And it could be anything. What's messed up about PTSD is you don't know when it's going to hit. You know what I mean? When your triggers are going to kick in. We'll explain triggers later on in the podcast. You know what I mean? We don't know when that's going to happen. Certain events or certain smells, certain noises. You know what I mean? Certain situations that we're put in can trigger us into those negative effects that take over our bodies. You know what I mean? The yeah. fight, flight, or freeze thing that they talk about. Which is from the amygdala. I mean, we've all been through therapy here, you know, at this table. So
yeah.
For those that have not or are thinking about it, you know what I mean? You're going to hear some terminologies and things like that that we're referring to. And by all means, you know, when you give us some feedback, hopefully in the future you guys can ask and we'll get more in depth with those type of terminology and things like that. So PTSD in the definition is very, very descriptive, but very vague. You know what I mean? They touch on, you know, the specific trauma events, but what is it? Who does it affect? You know, civilian, military, it affects everybody. You know what I mean? Child through adult through, I mean, just the discipline that kids were accustomed to back then. How is it affecting them now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been through some things as a child. I'm sure you have. And I'm sure that there's some things in our life right now that we apply because of what we've been through as a child. And there's people out there just like us that need to hear.
So you're
this.
Saying that kids also are susceptible to having PTSD?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I think out of all my treatment, the childhood trauma that I endured affected me most compared to my combat trauma. And that's messed up to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that it's because of the age that we're accustomed to that trauma, how we're growing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, our brains are absorbing so much stuff, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. So teenagers, things that they go through, like today, if I could sum it up in kids' terms, I mean, yeah, you know, there's a difference between discipline and abuse. When you're being abused, that's setting a lasting impact, an impression in your brain.
Yep.
And it's going to hinder you and hurt you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, when you're a teenager, you know what I mean? Now you're going through different types of traumatic experiences, like that first time when you get in, maybe it's not your first time, but, you know, when you get in a serious altercation or fight with somebody,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Or you're getting bullied or beaten at school, or, you know, you got that one guy or that one girl that just keeps messing with you, you know, and there's a lot of social media stuff. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah, that's
things,
that new
man.
Stuff, too. I mean, we didn't have social media back then. It was just being at school and somebody talking smack to you or putting you down in front of everybody, and that was the social media. Now, I mean, like you said, it's a constant. It can be the same thing. They're always seeing it every day, getting bullied or whatever, and it's going to get to them.
Exactly.
I'm glad you can see that you put it's not just military, it's also civilian, it could be kids. This is that stuff that people don't like talk about, especially like us being a Hispanic culture. Oh, the kid's just misbehaved. He's just a misbehaved kid. He don't know better, you know.
Yeah, and then you straighten him out. But, you know, it's like, and then it's funny, but we talk about these statistics about who it affects and everything like that. But look at the statistics on child abuse and, like, the statistics of those who molest children that have been molested. You know what I mean? How many of those are contributors to that type of punishment and abuse to children? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of these people have suffered that in their past and they carry it on in their future. And to me and you, we can see a little peak of the light right now because we've been through the type of treatments we've been through and things like that. But there's a lot of people out there that are suffering right now that are probably listening to this that's saying, man, you know, that's me. They're us.
Yeah.
And they need to be out there. You know, they need to face the music and get out there and find and seek that help.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Right. It says that 2.9 million cases of child abuse are reported every year in the United States. That's only reported.
Right. And usually the most severe stuff is unreported.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Which is terrible. And I don't know how, like we can talk about growing up as a kid. I mean, there's so many things that we're going to talk about, I'm sure, in this podcast. You know, this is like the first episode.
Yeah, it's just the first episode. We're just trying to touch base on if this is you.
I think the main thing that people, let's talk about the stigma, right? Because I want this, so just like you, I want this to touch everybody in their own different way. From the mother, you know what I mean, that's raising her children, that was abused when she was a kid, you know what I mean? Or being abused right now in an abusive relationship with an abusive husband that's beating the heck out of her, whatever the case may be, and susceptible those children to that. You know, let's talk about the teenage kid that was raped by, you know, the cousin, you know what I mean? And now they feel like they don't belong, or they feel like their sexuality is questioned. Like, who are they? You know what I mean? Like, am I gay? Am I straight?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, different things like that. That's trauma, right? Let's talk about those kids that grew up like I'm you know, you've talked about, you know, your past with me and stuff like that before, or, you know, and same thing with me. Let's talk about those kids that ran with the wrong crowd, that had to do things for their friends because out of fear for one, right? But out of brotherhood and another mm-hmm. thing, right? And we always thought, hey, we got to do that to protect each other. You know, we got to beat the heck out of this kid, or we got to sell these drugs, or we got to do this. And then we get a gun put in our hand and now we're pulling triggers. You know what I mean? And potentially killing somebody. Yeah, sometimes we don't see the effects of what we do, but look at the families that are affected and the trauma that they feel. So trauma is constantly like the bad, dark cloud in the air. You know, we go through this stuff and we're always trying to, like, you know, in our culture, they say, hey, you know, toughen up, right? Man up, you know,
man up.
Keep that chin up, right? Don't, you know, be hard, right? That's what they tell you. Are you hard or you soft?
You can be a fucking punk.
Right, you know? So I think that for Latinos, that's how we see it. You know, for other races, they see it the same way, I'm sure, mm-hmm. just in different terminology. You know, yeah. If you show that to somebody else, now you're weak. Now they're going to take advantage of you. And the trauma inside us takes over and says, yeah, it confirms it. Says, yeah, don't be saying this stuff because they're going to do something wrong to you. They're going to, you know, they're going to hurt you. They're going to, if you're in the service like us, they're going to kick you out. You know what I mean? You're done.
Exactly.
You report it. You ain't never getting promoted again. We're going to send you to the funny farm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Hey, and we're going to get you out as quickly as possible. Okay. You know what? I'm sitting here now 2 years into treatment. You know what I mean? After my wound I took, you know what I mean? After getting shot, trying to save a brother, you know, in the service from the same thing that affected us right now. From his PTSD, you know what I mean? And he's not with us no more, you know? But
so tell me, when you finally did overcome that stigma and you finally did open up, how did it make you feel?
Oh, man, it took a minute. I ain't gonna lie. It ain't like, you know, like Jesus Christ came down and yeah. touched me and I was, you know, hallelujah, I'm saved. Yeah. No, it wasn't nothing like that, man. As a matter of fact, it was the most scary thing in my life. And at the time, like, I still, like, sometimes I still don't trust. You know what I mean? I have a hard time trusting people. Like, I've developed a good relationship with my doc now, you know what I mean, at the health clinic.
Yeah.
And certain psychiatrists that I went to treatment with, and I can't say their names, unfortunately, or nothing like that mm-hmm. because yeah. of HIPAA stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just, bro, it was the most uneasy feeling I've ever felt. But at the same time, It opened that little thing, you know, that little gap of light through the door, or that dark.
Just that little bit that you
just
needed.
That little bit, man. And eventually that started opening up more and more and more, you know what I mean? And it made me, I think, help and treatment made me aware of how deep I was. How deep I was in the whole deal, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, because like you said, you got to stay hard. You can't open up. You can't do that. Whether it's outside the military because you show like you're weak, or you're in the military and it still kind of shows a weakness, no matter how much. I mean, we love the Navy. We love our service. But we do know to a certain extent, if you say something's wrong with you, oh, that's it. He's not in the form of leadership anymore. He's not fit to lead other people or be out in a squad car like you or on the flight line like me. Mm-hmm. His mind's not in there. He can't help us. Let's just cut ties.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, that's the culture that the military is bred. You know, is the if you're not healthy enough to do something or something like that. You know what I mean? Hey, you're out the door. Move the next guy up. Mm-hmm. We need the front runners up here that still aren't wounded. We're what you call the hidden wounded. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We got internal wounds that nobody can see. And a lot of us walking through life right now, civilian, military, it don't matter, man, woman, child, young adult, you know, senior. I mean, I'm talking about old, you know, mm-hmm. like our grandparents and parents. I mean, shoot, I look at my dad now and I could tell every PTSD symptom that guy got just mm-hmm. because of the treatment that I went through. You know what I mean? And I look at his childhood and he's talked about, and I think that our relationship is growing a little bit closer than what we had. And I mean, I didn't get along or talk to my dad for a long time because of what I went through as a kid. But as the more and more I started to talk to him and open up, the more and more I started understanding him. And it's crazy, but, you know, it almost developed a new relationship with him.
No, I fully understand that.
Yeah.
My dad, I used to always ask him questions. My brother, he's probably listening to this right now, and he can attest to it. We'd ask our dad, like, hey, what about this when you were young? Or what did you do this when you were a kid? My dad'd be like, I don't remember. And like him, he lost his mom when he was 15 years old. And from what I talked to my aunts and my tias, like, that really affected him. And so now, like you said, I can see little things like that. He's gotten help. He's way better. He pushed me to get help many times when I was a teenager, going through a bunch of shit. And I'm like, oh, whatever. But it helped him. And now, like you said, like, I think back and see all that, the hidden stuff where we just suppress it. We don't talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's embarrassing. You can actually see those triggers, or like you said, the symptoms.
Well, bro, yeah, it's like you're walking through the street or something, you know, and you're talking to some of your friends, and maybe it's the crowd that you're sitting in, like me, right? And I sit in the corner, you know what I mean? They're like, "Yo, bro, why don't you sit out here by the street?" Mm-hmm. And you know what am I gonna do? Open up and be like, "Nah, man," because last time I remember sitting next to a place like this, you know what I mean? This and this happened, you know, like, oh, one of my buddies got blown up in a Corman picking up his pieces off the road. You know what I mean? Like, am I gonna tell him that? Like, is that something that we want to talk about? You know what I mean? Like, do we want to throw that out there? You know, that's not something to throw out there at a dinner table, no, you know, or like another instance, you know what I mean? Like you go out to maybe a nightclub or something, you know, like in a female sense, right? You're out there at the nightclub with your girls or something like that. You know, it's like, and you probably, maybe, you know, hopefully not, you know, but for those that are listening, probably, right? You might have been a victim of a sexual assault, or, you know what I mean, an attempted sexual mm-hmm. assault, or you've been drugged or something like that, yeah. You know, and it had a close call. What are you going to do? Tell your girls, like, you know, like at the bar, like when you're sitting out, like, hey, why don't you go talk to that guy? Nah, he creeps me out because you're reminding me of the guy that raped me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we don't just want to. Yeah, we don't want to just talk about that stuff like it's mm-hmm. fair game. You know, that's our personal private thoughts, and when we put them out there for display, we're opening ourselves up to being vulnerable. And guess what happens when we're vulnerable? We're susceptible to being hurt again.
Yep, we don't want to relive that thing,
so we don't want to put it out there.
So that's another thing for this podcast. I mean, if people have questions and you want to submit questions to us, you can do it anonymous. You know, you can send an email, just make up an email, or you can just send us an email or send us a message, direct message, whatever it is, and you can just tell them, hey, I want to be anonymous. You want to be anonymous, we won't even say your name, but we can bring up a topic and talk about it and see what other people think about it. We can all come together as a group and just help each other out when it comes to stuff like this. There ain't no judging out here. That's the whole reason for this thing, because we've been judged before for how we are, or how we feel, or the outbursts we have, or the meltdowns, or being locked up in our bedrooms for weeks at a time. I've had trouble with alcohol. It's messed me up, messed up my career, messed up relationships with people, and that was my coping mechanism, was to mess with alcohol all the time. I'd feel bad, or I'd feel a certain way, and I'd drink. Like, my personal story is with my wife. My wife has stage 4 cancer, and at first I thought I could accept it and deal with it, and it'd be fine. Put your chin up, like you said. But then slowly but surely, that thought creeps into your head, like, is she going to pass away? When is it going to be? What day is it going to be? Is it just going to be me and my kids? Am I going to go home? Am I going to stay in the military? Just so many thoughts start going through your head. And that's another thing, because it just relives it every single day. And I coped it with alcohol. It's the only thing that made me feel good. But in turn, it's the same thing that hurt me along the way.
Yeah, man. And you know what? I want to say, first of all, that you and your wife, Mel, you know, you guys have tremendous courage going through this fight together. I know you've been doing it for a while, so I can only imagine what your mind must go through. You know what I mean? And yeah, man, this is definitely going to affect – this is affecting you now. It has in the past, and it's definitely going to affect your future. You know what I mean? But I think that the difference between you and somebody that's listening to the podcast that hasn't gotten help is just that. You know what I mean? They don't have that lifeline of support that you're going to need, you know what I mean, later down the road, or Mel's going to need later down the road. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like you have a network now, you know, and that's, I think, one of the biggest takeaways from opening up and getting support, either psychiatrically or through a group or something like that, you know what I mean, or even like this podcast or submitting questions. I mean, even if they don't want to come forward.
Yeah.
You know, hey, submit the question, man. Just whatever's going on in your mind, hey, help me understand this. And that's what we're here to do, you know, to give you that peace of mind and know that just because we're not sitting in front of you, you know, looking at your face doesn't mean that you don't have a network out there of people that suffer just like you do, or just like, you know, Trey does or Mel does, or, you know, we're all in this together. It's one team, one fight.
We ain't no experts out here speaking like we're experts. We're just
everyday experts people. In symptoms, but
we're just same people as y'all that are out here suffering the same way. We just want to say our stances, and not our stances, but our, like, what we've been through, when we've sought help, when sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes you still go home feeling like crap, but you got to pick yourself back up and get it going.
So, oh yeah, man.
That's what it's all about.
Suicide too. I mean, you know, going with this is a deep, like, we're diving into, you know, some hellacious stuff, and we're going to be talking about stuff like that. So I'd like to say, you know, for one, we're not trying to intentionally trigger anybody or anything like that, you know what I mean? However, it is, you know, if you have an immediate situation that you need help with, you know what I mean, there's always the emergency numbers that you need to call. You know, don't become a statistic. We have a lot of friends between me and Trey, especially in the military, that are becoming statistics every day. You know what I mean? And it's getting worse and worse. I mean, if you look at the war stats and things like that, Vietnam vets, right? This is crazy, Trey, but Vietnam vets that were 2 or 3 times in combat, you know what I mean, are now seeking help. After
this
years.
This far down the road.
This far down the road.
It's being more accepted now.
Right. And the conflict that they were in was such, if you look at it in a scale, was such short-lived, right? We're talking about a couple years. We're looking at Afghanistan right now, and we're stretching over 15.
Yeah, still going.
Still going.
It's longer than I've been in the military.
Right. Iraq, look how long that lasted. You know what I mean? And this is the next generation that is just starting to come up. And talking to my psychiatrist, I mean, you know, there's not enough people in the field now because they're getting so overburdened with work. You know what I mean? Like, people are coming forward like never before, which is a good thing. And they're saying, hey, there's something ain't right with me. You know what I mean? I get, like, I wake up in cold sweats and I'll have bad nightmares about this or that.
Yep.
There's something wrong with me, you know? I need help. Or I just choked my wife out and I didn't even know it. I was asleep. You know what I mean? I almost killed her. You know? There's something wrong with me.
Yeah.
You know? I just sliced my, you know, I feel like I'm gonna slice my wrist right now. Or like me, as a junior, you know, when I came back from Iraq, I was sitting out on a flight line, man, you know, guarding an airplane with my 9mm to my fucking temple, saying, this is it. I can't deal with his fucking memories no more, you know? But it's funny because then I see another squad car coming up, and what do? I snap back into my military reality and saying, nope, this is bullshit, right?
That's all it takes right there. Just to
slip my gun back in my holster and I carry on, right? Never getting help, but only getting worse, you know? I mean, my story is going to get pretty in-depth, and for those, it could look like no end in sight sometimes, you know what I mean? But there is going to be a happy ending to it, you know what I mean? And it's still in progress, which is good. It's always getting better. But that's what the main thing of this is for, is to make sure that everybody out there has hope.
Definitely, definitely. So, yeah. You were mentioning that hotline, just so we can put that plug in there. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Once again, it's 1-800-273-8255. Just a simple Google search of suicide hotline. There's even an online chat. You can text, call them. It's all confidential. I've used it before. I've called them, and they talk to you right on. They talk you down. They see what's going on with you. They make sure to see what is it that you need. They're their friend for you, and just know that you're loved. I know that's one of the biggest things with that is when you're to that point, you just feel nobody loves you. You can't see the people that love you. You don't know that they're there. You feel you're isolated, but there are people there.
And for for active duty, you know, I mean, I know you got maybe some civilian type plugs that you can look into, but for the military on that side of the house, for veterans of PTSD, even Vietnam veterans now, I want to put a plug out there for the Semper Fi Fund. You can research it. I mean, you can go to their website. They have various things to do as far as support groups, different mechanisms to help you through, and also financial stability if you guys are in financial binds or something like that, you know what I mean, and you have serious issues, then obviously they screen you, they approve you, and they'll get you the help that you need. For Navy and Coasties, we got the Navy Wounded Warrior Safe Harbor Program. They really kicked into gear with me when I went into, you know, mental health and things like that. As soon as, you know, and because I was shot too, so I had a severe trauma that was dealt to me. And then the PTSD thing, I mean, they're still with me, you know what I mean? And they've been with me for 2 years, you know. I got some good regional, you know, RCCs that look after me and make sure that I'm getting the care that I need. And they're walking me every step of the way. It's not like they never leave me alone, you know what I mean? Which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. They got sporting events. They got Wounded Warrior type events. They got, I mean, there's so many plugs out there for veterans, you know what I mean, for that kind of stuff, as far as, I mean, Salmon for Soldiers, I mean, there's Wake for Warriors.
Is just all Pacific Northwest?
Yeah, this is all Pacific Northwest stuff. I mean, and if you really dig into it deeper, they have different things in different regions, and it's all the same program, you know what I mean? For Air Force, you have your Air Force Wounded Warrior AFW2 program, which is a very awesome program. I got a chance to go over at JBLM in Tacoma, Washington, when they held it there, and I became an ambassador, which is, you know, pretty much like this, where I go out and I talk to wounded airmen or, mm-hmm. you know, like the guys that are sitting in the audience that need to hear the information.
Yeah.
And I'm out there telling my personal story, and it's amazing, right, to see like the lieutenant commander, like these high ranking individuals, or even the lowest man on the totem pole coming up after the thing and saying, hey, I was really listening to your story, and there's some things I'd like to talk to you about on the side, you know, I really need help. And you're like, okay, cool, you know, and bring them over, and you automatically got that trust, you know what I mean, because they know that you're suffering with them and you're getting the help that they need, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things, man. And I mean, I can't express enough the help that just us talking right now provides for some folks out there.
Yeah.
It provides relief, you know, and these programs for military anyway, and tune in, you know, next time and we'll do a little bit more research, and I'll pull up some civilian programs that they have, you know what I mean? Just strictly for, mm-hmm. for certain types of trauma. We'll kind of dive into that to kind of get those plugs out there and that lifeline out there for those types of, you know what I mean? For everybody. So nobody feels alienated, 'cause we're all in this together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, to wrap it up, if you'd like to follow Heath's story also on his blog, it's at www.darknightrisen,
darknightrisen.com. darknightrisen.com.
Go check out that blog. It's pretty deep, pretty intense. We'll do some audio on it here as well, but if you want to check it out, you can go check that out already. Once again, this is called Why Is It Like That? This is our life. Keep on tuning in to the next episode, and we'll dive right deep into it. Appreciate tuning in, and see
come
you
along,
next time.
Come along, children. Now we're going to have a little music, like old times.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.